This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, we have the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looks like Galveston right now. It's 63 down on the island this morning and a little bit of fog. And today we're looking at basically areas of patchy fog and peaks of sunshine expected later on in the day with a slight chance of rain shower. Probably 69 for a high. Southwest winds 10 to 20. And then for tonight, clear skies with a low of 52, north winds 15 to 25, that little front pushing through, not much punch to it, but a little bit of wind with it. But tomorrow, looks like sunny skies with a high of 61, a little bit cooler, east-northeast winds 10 to 20. That should get rid of the fog somewhat. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 8:47 a.m. It's a negative 0.5, and a high at 5:32 p.m., a 1.3. Sunrise, 7:08 a.m., sunset, 5:24 p.m., moon phase, 4%. And looking at current conditions, looks like the Galveston Channel down there, it's 64 degrees with 61-degree water, a southeast wind at 6. And Eagle Point, it is 62 degrees with 56-degree water, east wind at 2. And Morgan's Point, 59 degrees, 58-degree water, south wind at 2. And that's basically it. Tides, winds, which not a lot of it this morning, a little bit foggy in places depending on where you're at. But definitely moisture in the air. Front coming in tonight. Dry it out again. Get rid of the fog. All right, let's run over to Sabine Lake now and check in with Captain Bill Walken and see what he's doing this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you doing today, buddy?
Well, okay, other than a little touch of the crud.
Yeah, my wife's kind of coughing school. And, you know, kind of croupy and nasally. Something going around.
Kind of what it is, but
yeah,
I should get over it pretty quick. I think I could really catch fish this morning.
Yeah, I think so. Fishing's
it's
really good for for this day and age. A lot of fish being caught right now, reds and trout.
Yeah,
pretty good. Oh, and flounder. I don't want to leave those out. They're getting hammered pretty hard since they opened that flounder season back open. They're nuking them.
There's very little over here. Used to I'd catch flounder five or six a day.
Yeah.
You know? But
man, Sabine used to have flounder mecca.
Catch one. But yeah, there's just not much over here. It's not even worth a flounder trip, really.
Isn't that something?
I think they waited too long to do what they did, you know.
Right.
But maybe it'll help. You know, that's just the way it is. I catch one every once in a while. But I didn't catch one last trip. We did real good. And we didn't catch one flounder.
That's amazing.
They should still be around the mouth of the bayous, you know, in that deeper water.
Right.
But I guess if I went down to the ship channel and fished down there.
Yeah, down in the choke points.
I could catch them. Yeah. You go down
that's where most of them are being caught over here is that similar pattern you're talking about where our Galveston channel, you know, runs from, you know, over by Campbell Bay through to Bolivar Roads there. That's a kind of a freeway for flounder entering and exiting, and they get stacked up in there, and people really put the hurt on them big time, kind of like they do over your way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure if I fished the channel, I could catch them.
Yeah.
There's no doubt they're there, but I'm not going to get down there and try that. I'm pretty well a trout and redfish nut. That's the way I roll. And the trout are, up the middle of the lake and in the northern end. So that's where I'm going to be for a while. And there's not going to be much scattered flounder up there. Now, I know if I fish that river channel up there, there'd be some in there. They don't all leave.
No, they don't.
No. But
I see a lot of these flounder they're cleaning right now are full of eggs.
Yeah.
Still got eggs.
They
got to
be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that's going on. And I'm sure if I went down to the channel, I'd catch them. But nobody hadn't asked specifically for a flounder trip. I get mostly trout and redfishmen. So,
Well, that's the target spring, species.
And spring, from anytime from Valentine's Day on through May, that's when I catch them. They'll be up and down that Louisiana shoreline. And you'll have some good days.
Well, they head up that shoreline when they return. And they go to the marsh, man.
And that's what they do. They eat those little fry.
Yes.
It's that's how they do it. That's how they roll, man. Oh, well, anyway. Shoot, my back hurts. Had to lay flat on the floor.
God.
Yeah, that still the pattern is, you wind up fishing the mouths of bows in deeper water. And that's where the fish are right now. And the rest of the trout and redfish are in the middle of the lake, way out in the north end.
Right.
And you go up there and you'll find them somewhere. You just ride around and look, and they're solid fish. I mean, we're not catching dinks. It's
right.
They're pretty good size. Yeah. So that's the way it is right now. I caught some the other day in this Main River Channel, the old channel where they cut it off there at East Pass. So I rolled up in there and there was a little flock of birds working, and it was another boat there, but he was sitting still. I think these birds just popped up.
Yeah.
And I eased on past him there, didn't blow in and try to take over. And he come around the right side, and I went on the left side. And between us, we had those fish trapped. And we were both catching them.
The old river mouse
we were whacking them.
Yeah.
That was fun. And those guys were real friendly, and, they knew what to do. You just don't run into that very often.
No, you really don't.
They asked me, have y'all caught fish yet? I said, yeah, we've been catching them all morning. He said, well, this is our first shot. And but they knew what to do. When they birds popped up, they knew exactly what to do.
Right.
And I thought it was just real good. We fished them for about 100 yards and just whacked them. I think we put 10 in the boat out of that. I think they about caught 12 or 13.
Right.
It was really good to see somebody that knew what to do. Didn't pressure them, didn't run in the middle of them. They just kind of stayed out to the right, hung out. And I'd move and he'd move. We had it right. Just not often you see that.
No. But they're there. That's it, you know. And they knew how to run a trolling motor and how to work the, you know, just not bust the school up. That's the biggest problem, busting the school up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you run into them, and usually you want to drift into them, but there wasn't, they were moving to the north.
Yeah, they were tracking.
When they're doing that, you just got to stay outside of them, and just as far as you can cast, let that be the distance you stay. And, hey, we worked them over. Yeah, and that was really
you don't want to get too close to them or drift through them or troll motor through them. You'll bust them up, and that's the end of it. It's over.
Yep. Yeah, if you try to get too close, you just got to have a rig that'll cast. And the two guys I had in the boat, they could cast. You know, they knew what to do. So I just stayed out, hung out there at the edge of it, the school. And about every once in a while, they'd surface and a shrimp would jump. And that helped us really stay on that school. So, yeah, they were down in 16 foot of water.
16. Is that
yeah,
all?
Yeah, 16 foot. Yeah, they found that channel. They found a pile of shrimp down there. And there's still shrimp coming out. They're little ones right now. You know how that is.
Yeah, the farther the year goes on, they just get really tiny. I run into a school, I think it was last year in January. I kept seeing mullet flip. I said, man, let's work this reef over. It warmed up. You know how, you know, those fish will be deep and bayous and rivers and all that, but you get a good warming trend, and then, you know, those fish will move out over reefs and flats and all that. And it was just a whim, and we're sitting there fishing, and I seen two or three little, I mean, eyeball and whisker grass shrimp jump. I said, y'all throw over there, and everybody bowed up. I said, look at this. Shrimp still coming out. And we weren't far from a bayou mouth, and we lit them up. Couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
But then the birds found the shrimp jumping, and here we go. Turned
oh,
the fiasco.
Man, yeah.
And by then, a couple of boats saw the birds, and here they come, and here we go. I pulled up and left. Turn it.
There's no way
broke,
you
man.
Can. Yeah, it's they see birds working, they're gonna
coming,
run
baby.
Over there.
They're coming.
Yeah, that morning
human
we
nature.
Caught. That's it. That morning we caught redfish too. They were coming it's down this bio. Oh golly, and chasing them little shrimp.
Right.
They herd them up out of the bottom of the bow, and they'd push them up into the shallows where they could get them.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, they were just eating them. And
redfish like
them,
hogs, man. They'll root that mud up. Them shrimp will kind of be buried in the mud a little bit, and they'll root them up and get them moving, push them up on a flat, and just nuke them.
Yeah, man, their tails were sticking out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Boiling, doing that thing, and that's where we caught our slot reds, and we caught several more that day that were oversized, and it was really fun. Those redfish, they were hard to get to bite. I think they just had so many shrimp around them that they didn't notice our lures.
Probably they were probably gorged full of little shrimp too.
Oh, when I filleted them, they were full.
I bet they were. I bet their bellies were just stretched.
Yep. Trout and the reds. Everybody's eating shrimp right now.
That's it. Hey, I can't complain with them. I kind of like shrimp this time of year, too. Let me knock this break out, Bill. I'll be right back at you, bud. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. And if you're looking for a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, nothing beats the Belleville. Their full menu, a pecan smoked barbecue that's served all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And their processing facility, they're rocking and rolling right now. And If you've never had a deer processed there or any kind of wild game, take it by the Belleville Meat Market. You'll be pleased, I assure you. Their quality is impeccable, and all their different blends of pecan smoked sausage, dry sticks, you know, burger, Italian sausage, whatever you'd like it made into. Plus, I like the way they tenderize your back straps and package them for you. Stays fresh in the freezer forever. Their packaging is second to none. And the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and talk some more with Captain Bill. All right, Mr. Watkins.
Well, I was over your way the other day.
I heard you were. I talked to old Larry Higgins, said you called him, and you went to FTU, you and your son or something. And, man, yeah, oh, if you'd have called me, I'd have met you somewhere. We'd had lunch or something.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think to call you. And there I was right close to your house.
Yeah, you did.
I know him.
Drive right down I-10 past me, man. I'm not far off I-10, maybe 14 miles.
Yeah, we went to Fish and Tackle Unlimited, and then we went to Restaurant Warehouse, bought pork butts. You know, bought a couple of cases, though. We're fixing to make sausage here pretty quick. And then we went to Rose's seafood place. That's some fine stuff. Man,
yeah.
I couldn't even believe the shrimp in there. Oh, that was really good. I mean, they were fine shrimp.
Awesome.
They didn't have that orange color. They were fresh out of the water, you know.
Yeah.
Wherever they get them, I don't know. But I bought the ones that were wild caught, Texas caught.
Well, yeah.
Man.
Farm-raised around here, man. Support our shrimpers. They're a dying breed right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I don't know how they survive.
I don't either. But there's some hardcore ones that are still around, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're tough.
I got an old boy up here I've known for 40 years, man. Oh, we call him Shrimper John, John Harrison. He's a grinder. Best shrimper up this way there is ever. He's every day, day in and day out, he don't cut him any slack. He's working.
That's the only way you can make a living doing that.
That's it.
That's it.
Trying to keep the boat running and everything going. That's not an easy profession. But boy,
no.
I sure thank them. Nothing. If you like live bait and you like eating shrimp, thank a shrimper, man.
Yeah.
There's not many That's left.
Right. No. It's hard to get live bait anymore. Especially over here.
Yeah, over your way. And it's always been hard to get it over there. That's what I liked about coming over there, because it was mostly just all lure fishermen.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't mess with bait. They'd cast net shad. I used to watch them fish with shad, and I'm surprised people over here don't do that as much, but they used to nuke the trout over there on shad.
Oh,
fill their live well up and go to work on them.
The first 3 years I fished down here, it was I slung that big 12-foot spread cast net.
Right.
And man, oh man, I'd catch shad before daylight, and we'd just nuke them. And every once in a while we'd catch a few shrimp, but mostly it was pogie. That was my main thing, and I wanted the ones that were about 2 inches long.
One of our good listeners, Jimmy, wanted to, me to ask you before I forget about it, where you bought your pork butts?
Restaurant supply.
Restaurant supply.
Yeah. The big old operation. They got every kind of meat you can think of.
Right.
But you wear a coat when you go in the cold room.
Little
coat. A heavy coat. Yeah. My ears got blistered in there. But yeah, they've got all kinds of restaurant supplies. And the other part of the room, it's not as cold, you know, they keep that just not regular air conditioned, but mm-hmm. Boy, they have boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff to, you know, for restaurants. That's a big place. They've got every kind of a vegetable. I mean, they bring them in huge boxes.
Wow.
And they've got bags of bell peppers mixed, you know, mm-hmm. bell peppers, that, you know, for about $7-$8. I couldn't even believe that.
Right.
And red bell peppers, pretty much same price. Oh, yeah, that was a cool place. I don't know how my son found that. But it's over there. I didn't even know where we were. I was so mixed up. We made so many corners.
Yeah, you country boy, man.
I said, what town are we in? He said, I really don't know. But he used to work in Baytown, so
he knew
everywhere to go over there. So I think it was somewhere close to there, somewhere between Baytown and Houston.
When I go to the Belleville meat market, every year when I drop a deer off, Marcus will take me all through the entire processing facility, and he's wearing a short sleeve shirt, and you know, I got maybe a long sleeve hunting shirt or something on, and buddy, by the time I get out of there, I am frozen.
Yeah.
Places. It's cold all the way through, except when you go back and look at all those smoking houses they have inside there, you know, where they roll all the dollies full of sausage in there and pecan smoke it. Pretty awesome operation. I like doing stuff like that.
Anytime I get by there, I'm going there. That's got to be a wonderful operation.
It's a cool place, man. All the people, they're just country folk and nice as they can be. Guys working there for them, they're just all super nice.
A couple of trips back, I had a guy brought some deer sticks from the Belleville.
Oh, those dried sticks? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, they were good. Oh, good.
That's nectar, man. That's great for the boat, you know, when you're out fishing.
Oh, and he had some dry sausage from there, too, and it was just as good, you know, regular sausage dried. And nobody does that over here. I don't know why. You know,
a lot of people love that dry sausage.
Oh, I do, too. I really like it. Hard to chew at first, but, man, you know, the casing.
Once you get it going and chewing it up, man, the flavor through that whole blend is just, it's amazing.
Oh.
It's got a unique flavor to it.
Yeah, that's the first time I'd ever had any from Belleville. I'd had some from Prosex, but
yeah,
not Belleville. They're darn good too. They all let people know what they're doing.
Yeah, there's about two or three of them that are really first class, and ain't no fly by night operations. They do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting to go through and see that stuff.
Oh, the whole process, man, from the skinning room. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many people take whole deer up there. They just gut them, and they'll take the whole deer up there and drop it off, and they skin them out and quarter it up and do everything for you right there.
That's almost cheating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, where I'm at, you can't, you know, down in South Texas, that carcass would be, that'd be ruined by the time I got to the Belleville from down there.
Oh, yeah. You got a quarter to put it in ice, yes.
The faster the better. You know, get that deer hanging up and skin it out, quarter it up, and get it packed in ice.
Yeah, if it's cold, really cold,
keep it dry.
Leave them hanging for a day or two.
But, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I wouldn't mind having
that.
I wish Blaine had one of them big walk-in coolers down there where you could hang them up after you skin them, let it age a little
bit.
Yes. Keep it dry.
Yeah. That would be a good idea, but they don't have a big walk-in cooler. So not, you can't just put them in the ice chest. That'd be all right. Just keep them covered.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week, man. That's my vacation. Headed to God's country, man. That's what I call it down there. It's a whole different, just a whole different world down there.
Oh, I know. I've been down there a couple times. It's really
it's like
good.
Being out in the sticks, man. In the brush country. That's a place to go.
Yeah.
Just the smell, yeah. Everything. I long for that.
Yeah, it's really
an overabundance of game.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as they're protected, it'll be like that. There's I don't know if I ever told you, I went to the Rocker Bee Ranch, which is West Texas. That's
right.
A little bit north of I-10 up at a place called, I can't remember the name of that place, but anyway, it's about 40 miles north of I-10. Out there close to wherever. I don't even remember where we were, but I mean that place, it was the head of one of the rivers out there, and it was dry.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a lot of rainfall that year, and my goodness, I couldn't even believe the deer. Oh, they were so fat.
Coming out of the brush like rabbits.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah, you could just ride the gravel roads real slow and watch them. You could see them, you know, out there about 50
cool.
to 100 yards. Oh, yeah. They weren't really wild, but they, nobody was out there. We had a 10,000 acre pasture to hunt in under one fence.
Wow.
And we camped at a curbing with a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Had a water trough there. And man, that was fun. Oh, God. We had to camp out, but it was just, I think I spent $300 that first time I went out there. Oh, man. And they said, you have to shoot two does. If you don't shoot two does, you ain't coming back. That was the rule. You need one buck and two does.
Yeah.
And boy. Yeah, that was one of the best trips ever. I did that twice.
Awesome.
I think it was 500 the second time.
All right, there, Bill. Well, hey, man.
Middle of nowhere.
I hope you get over your sniffles and all that, buddy. And if somebody wants to give you a call about checking on a fishing trip or something, how do they get a hold of you, my friend?
Yes, sir. 409-673-9211.
All right, buddy. Well, Bill, have a good day. Always a pleasure talking to you. I'll check in with you Saturday. We'll strike up a conversation, I'm sure.
Okay, buddy.
All right, man. See you, bud.
Thank you.
Later. All right. AnglerU, they're committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. They have weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers. They have decades of experience. And AnglerU steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover all the topics under the sun. They're archived. That way you can see patterns over time with educational videos with instructional topics. They cover all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, AnglerU's got you covered. Go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today and receive great discounts from their partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:36. All right, let's head up to Lake Conroe now and check in with the fish dude, Richard Tosh. Good morning, Richard. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here, buddy. Just
good deal.
Just getting ready for the holidays, man. Favorite time of year.
I know. You get to go do you a big hunt this year. Hopefully you get you a big rascal, too.
Well, if I don't, I don't. But, you know, every year is different. You never know.
I guarantee you there ain't no doubt. I've been noticing a lot of people talking about the rut in South Texas is on like Donkey Kong right now.
Yeah, so. It's down at Blaine's deep down there. He's seeing some sniffing and chasing, you know, the younger bucks right now. His is just a little sprinkle of it. Maybe it'll be full blown in another week, or maybe it's early this year. Last year I missed it. You know, they were just a lot of.
It's crazy how it'll move.
Yeah, it fluctuates. And he said that last cold spell, he said they started going a little bit. But I know up where Lynn hunts, you know, farther up, you know, back to the east from him, their rut's going crazy in George West, that area.
Now I bet it is. There ain't no doubt. And that's like yesterday. I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw a 160-inch 8-point. And that was a big rascal.
That's my dream like buck right there, man. Giant 8.
Man, I'll tell you what, those 8s look.
That's the only one I don't have on the wall, brother.
Those
see,
rascals
I want it so bad I can't get it.
I know. That's the way it is. You know, I mean, I've been looking for one over 150 for years, and I hadn't found one yet. But then I get to looking, they say 160-inch 8-point. It's like, what the heck, man? That's a big rascal. I mean, he was huge too.
That's very nice.
So, yeah, it is. Ain't no doubt. But it's all right. It's all good. That's like
that one George Strait killed years back. I mean, it's probably 20 years ago, or whatever. It was in the 170s, 178 or something, an 8-point. What a beast!
I know those are just true giants. There ain't no doubt when you see those. But like that, what's funny about that 160 I saw? He had hill country horns, is what it was. It wasn't big mass to them, but man, they were tall and wide. That's
pencil horn. That was one of 160 inches without any mass. Can you imagine with mass what that would have been? My gosh!
Yeah, there ain't no doubt that rascal would have been huge. But it's one of them. I know that's what I'm talking about. I'm gonna have me one more hunt in. I'm gonna head out. I think I'm gonna head out Saturday afternoon and head back over to Lano and get one more hunt in before Christmas, and then after that, I'll be pretty much done. So it's one of those things. Hopefully everything turns out like they should. Like this year over there, the leaves hadn't even started falling off the trees at Thanksgiving.
Around here, I'm just now turning. I mean, normally by Thanksgiving, all my trees are looking like this. And here it is, almost Christmas, and they're just now turning real good and leaving, you know.
I know that's the thing, and that's what I was hoping for at Thanksgiving this year. But man, they were just still as green as they could be. It's crazy. So, but it's just this warm weather we've been having anyway, and you know it's probably going to turn colder than I'll get out here in January. So we'll see. You know, it's just one of them things. But like right now, I'm over here at the river catching bait. I'm trying to find some big shad. I got millions of shad I'm catching, but I'm not catching the big ones like I'm wanting. You know, I've got probably about a dozen of those big ones in there right now, along with about 60 of the smaller ones, you know, inch and a half to 2-inch ones. And it's I'm looking at those 4 to 6 inches because we're going to hybrid fish today, and then we'll probably hybrid fish and then catfish too, kind of see what happens on both ends. And I know the catfish have been doing good. The other day, man, we limited out and we didn't keep anything less than 16 inches. Most of them were between 16 and about 19 inches. And we did have a couple of those 20 inches or a few of those 20 inches.
Gallon bag per 10 fish, man.
I know. I mean, that was about right, because we had 4.5 gallons is what we had. So
That's sweet.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. You know, but
starting to catch any big blues yet?
Yes.
You know, this cold
weather
and everything. It's getting time to start catching them big old nasty blues, man.
That's it. We had one about 15 pounds, and we hooked up on another one that we never saw it. He just pulled off finally. But it's, you know, them big rascals are starting to bite kind of on and off. And I mean, when you hook into one of them, it's automatic. You know, that line starts ripping out of there, and they just go to running like crazy. And all you can do is just sit there and hold on, wait on them, you know.
Yeah, let him tire out, make that long run, and then work him back to the boat, man.
That's it. And I mean, it's fun as heck, you know, to pull on them
sure
a little bit.
Is.
But, man, I'll tell you what, when it comes to eating, I'd rather have those, like, 16-inchers, you know.
Yeah,
16
save those big ones
fish.
For seed. They make lots of babies.
Yes, they do. And, I mean, you know, it's like the hybrids, you know. Today we're gonna jump on them a little bit, and hopefully they're showing up in their historical spots. I've got a couple of spots where they typically try to pull into these creeks, you know, this time of year. But the water temperature, like over here on the river, it's 57 right now, so it should be about the same over there. And it's, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, if I get that water temperature to stay like this in the 50s, those hybrids will get, I mean, they'll be fired off pretty hard. So, and it's usually the bigger ones whenever I get this cooler water temperature,
right?
So that's why I'm looking for these bigger shad, because those fish, for some reason, when it gets cold, they want those big baits. I mean, it's every year, it's the same thing. So that's why I'm, like I say, that's why I'm focused on these bigger baits right now, just trying to get as many of them as I can, because we're going to hybrid fish again tomorrow too. So I'm just trying to get an idea where all these bigger baits are, so I can get over here tomorrow and get all I need, and then you know, without having to run all over the dang place, you know. Like this morning, I started off right there at the Highway 19 bridge, right in the middle of the river, junking, and it's full of little shad. And now I'm up in Harmon Creek right now. I just finished up in the mouth of Harmon in the river, and usually that's a good place. And I picked up 8 or 10 of them there, but yeah, it's one of those deals where if the water's moving, they'll stack up in the mouth of Harmon and stuff like that, and I catch the heck out of them. If it's not moving, I got a little spot here I've not made a cast on yet, but it's just a little hole in here, and it comes off of a flat, and they'll pile up in this hole. So that's what I'm looking at the depth finder. It looks like there's a few of them stacked under me right now, so we'll see how big they are here in just a little bit. But yeah, that's one of the things, like I say, you get over there and start catching those hybrids. It's amazing how much they want those bigger shad this time of year. And it's, you know, I mean, you can take the little ones and catch them, but it's just not as fast, because they just, I don't know why they'd like those big ones, but they're definitely eating when they get after it. So it's one of them things. It's just like them goofy old catfish. Man, them things they're getting right. You know, I love catching those bigger ones like that, because, you know, like I say, 10 fish to a gallon, that's what they typically do. You get out there and catch them, and you'll have a whole gallon bag with 10 fish, and that's you know, that's pretty good fish right there. Because in the summertime, I mean, a lot of times it'll be 18 to 20 fish will make a gallon. So, you know, you get 2.5 to 3 gallons out of them, and that's about all you're going to get, you know. But wintertime, you almost double that. So that's the best thing. You know, it's that to me, and then pulling on them, I mean, good night. You get out there and go to pulling on them bigger fish. It's so much more fun to me pulling on big ones.
Yeah, they're fun to catch. Yeah, they stretch your line a little bit, man.
Yeah, they will. They'll pull on your string for sure. There ain't no doubt about that. Number
and great table fare. I don't know what it is about Conroe catfish. I don't know what y'all put in the water over there, but it sure makes your catfish taste good.
I guarantee it does. There ain't no doubt. And we still got to get together one day and come up here and catch a whole fistful of them. There ain't no doubt. So, yeah,
I know.
Y'all can take them down there to Blaine's, and y'all can cook them up at deer camp.
Boy, so, howdy.
I'm telling you. So,
a lot of cooking goes on in that place.
I bet there is. Cooking of stories, too. So,
oh, man.
No doubt.
Come on with it.
I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, man. That's the best part about it anyway. Just get out there.
Well,
have a good time.
You know, that once a year deal where I get to, you know, I'm able to get together with everybody and,
yep,
you know, go over old times and, you know, people that I don't get to spend much time with all year long because everybody's so busy guiding trips and, you know, just you know how life is. Look at you. That's all you do is work. And
that's it. That's it.
It's good to get away and do that. Much needed. Very much needed.
Yes. Yeah, there ain't no doubt. That's why whenever deer season rolls around, I take advantage of it every opportunity I get. So, that's, you know, it's just one of them things. Get out
there. Spend quality time with your family and friends, man.
That's it. You got to do it. Because, I mean, the rest of the year, you don't get to see them very much. You know, even the wife. I mean, you're out there on the water all the time. Get home, start, get up before daylight, and just go in, answer phone calls, the emails, everything else, get you a bite to eat and crash. And that's about it.
That's all. I mean, that's life of a guy, buddy.
That's it. And that's, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, I guarantee you. There ain't no doubt, because it's just, I enjoy it too dang much. That's like I was talking to my dad about it the other day. He goes, one day you're going to have to quit all that. And I said, I ain't going to quit. I mean, how in the world do you quit as a fishing guy? I don't know. I mean, you just got to die. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I ain't figured it out yet. I mean, what are you going to do? Retire and go fishing? I don't think so.
That's what they most of them do if they decide they just don't want to mess with people anymore and just fish for themselves.
You know, with me,
the rest of the time.
That's my problem. I enjoy getting out here with everybody. That's the biggest part about me is,
I know. You know, well, you're a people person. You like you got the gift of the gab. You like beating them gums like the rest of us.
I guarantee you there ain't no doubt. And there ain't very many people can out-talk me, but there's a few. There ain't no doubt. There's a few. And it's, you know, it's one of them things where I just enjoy it. That's the biggest part, you know. And it's still, it never gets old seeing someone catch their first fish or you know, when they hook up to one and they don't realize they got one on and it's going, I think I'm hung. And they see it line swimming off. That just tickles me to death. Just watch people do that, you know, just because they don't know. I mean, I had a bass trip last year. I had this woman throwing a spinnerbait. She throws it out there and goes to reeling, and she goes, I think I'm hung. It's kind of stopped. Well, I'm looking, her line shooting to the side, and I said, no, you got a fish. You just need to go on reeling, man. And it's about a 4-pounder jumped off on her right there next to the boat. It's like, uh-huh. That's, you never know. I mean, every cast, that's what you got to think. Every cast, you're going to catch one. So that's the biggest thing about it, because, you know, you want to focus on every cast and concentrate, especially bass fishing. I mean, good night, them rascals, they can be anywhere at any time. I mean, it's just crazy. But that's the fun part about it. That's what keeps you going. You know, you just never know. You know, it's right. Going to happen when it happens. That's the main thing. But it's all good anyway. And I can't believe I only saw one duck hunter out so far this morning. So
really,
it's there's only one of them out here on the river. So it's crazy. But there's maybe they're saving it up for tomorrow and the next day. So we'll see. I know the weekend's going to be piled up. They'll be loaded in here, you know, because I don't know if there's another front coming or not. But that last front,
we got something coming tonight. Down. You know, we got a north wind kicking in, a little bit cooler temperatures for tomorrow. But that may bring
some birds down. I mean,
well, it's been good since the split. You know, opened back up here in the south zone. They've been hanging on pretty good, man. Some really beautiful straps of birds coming in. Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, especially after last year. Last year, I think everybody I talked to said it's probably the worst year they had bird hunting. So it's just kind of crazy how every year is different. So I guess those last fronts kind of pushed a big group of them down.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
they rested up for a while, and usually your first half is the best, you know, around here. And this year it was a little I mean, they did okay. Certain areas over here east of town were just lights out, and other areas were just dismal. And now that they had to split and it's opened back up, they're killing a lot of birds. My son hunted the refuge on Saturday, this past Saturday, and said it sounded like a war out there.
Oh my, there you go.
Just, man, every blind out there, plus all the other guys that, gad around the refuge on their property, it was like a war zone. Unbelievable.
I bet. Goodness, I'll tell you what.
Hammering on them, man.
Hey, that's the way it is. It's feast or famine for the most part. I mean, that's the best part about duck hunting. You know, I did notice quite a few teal in the early part of the season, so that was one thing. And finally, the loons and the pelicans made it down to Conroe right now, so there's loons and pelicans out there everywhere. And, you know, it's, once they get down here, normally the water temperature's right, everything's right. And so the other birds start moving down with them, you know, whenever they show up. So.
Yeah, a few more big ducks coming. But, you know, the teal populations were, you know, took a hit this year on the hatches and everything, and that's why they shortened teal season. And
right,
it wasn't
right.
For teal, there would have been a lot of hunts. Nobody would have killed anything. Teal have been saving a day for everybody. That's your
I guarantee you. I mean, that's it. You know, that's like over here at the river. I mean, wood ducks are everywhere over here. I mean, good night. There's so many wood ducks on this Trinity River. It's amazing.
You know, and that's funny because, Mike, you know, he's got that deer lease there on the Trinity River in Liberty County where he's been for 40 years, and he said they've seen fewer wood ducks this year than they've ever seen. Maybe they're all.
I'll be darned. I got a couple of holes up here that I usually hunt when I'm out hunting them. And it's, if I want to go hunt wood ducks, I've got one spot I pull in there. It's just a little pothole, and man, they'll just drop in there like bombs. I mean, they just come over them treetops and drop down because they're in there eating the macerns and stuff too. So that's one thing. And then there's another place I hadn't checked it this year, but the years ago it was a roost. And I mean, there'd be 1,000 of them get off of that roost every morning. I mean, I know they were crazy thick in there. So, and it was, you know, it was like, you got to be kidding me. Because when I first found that little roost, it's like, man, I want to hunt right here, but I can't, you know. Ethically, I don't even think you can legally, you know, get where they roost and get in there and hunt them. But ethically, you stay off the side of them, let them, you know, don't mess up their roost and stuff and get in there and hunt off the edges. And that's back when I tried to be a duck guide also. And I had three guys with me. I was going to fill in the gaps, you know, with being a duck guide.
Try to be a duck guide. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. And I got over here and had these three guys with me. I told them, so we're not going to get out of the boat at all. We're just going to run the boat right up here in these reeds. And there's a wood duck roost right over here about 100 yards. They're going to get up and fly right across here. Once we get our, I think it was two is what you can get
per person. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, once we get our two each, we're going to get out of here and go hunt some bigger birds. They went through three boxes of shells and never knocked a feather out. It's like, oh my goodness.
Hey, so you did your part, man. They have plenty of action. Sound like dove hunters, man.
I know it.
I got
That's
my
crazy,
limit, but I used to catch the shells, but I got my limit.
There you go. I mean, it's crazy. But, I mean, that's the way it is, you know, bird hunting. You know, it's like those pheasants and stuff. I pheasant hunted one time. It's like, you got to – them rascals are – they look like they're real slow, but, man, them rascals are faster than what you think they are for a big bird. I mean, good night.
Oh, yeah.
Man, them songas the first couple
especially
of them,
with
like,
a tailwind.
I know. It's like, how in the world did I hit behind them, you know, because it's like, you know, you're looking at the bird thinking he's just slow as Christmas, and then, boom, you shoot, and you watch your wad come out and hit his tail feathers. It's like, man, that ain't right. so it's one of those
things. Butt, Bob.
It ain't no doubt.
All right, man. Well, Richard, I got to run, dog. Somebody wants to give you a call about coming up to Conroe and fishing with you. Give them some info how they can reach you.
All right. Anybody can get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Get your big shad. Go get them big hybrids and then jump on them catfish, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Okay, Richard. See you, buddy.
All right. Later.
All right, we're going to take our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.